We have been since Sunday morning preaching on our five senses, And the same five senses that we have physically, we have those same five senses spiritually. The rich man who died and went to hell in spirit form had the same five senses that he did physically. And so we began preaching on Sunday morning on sensing God with our senses, or God consciousness, being conscious of God. And we used as a foundation for these thoughts a couple of little phrases out of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews said that now faith is the substance. We found that little word substance means a mysterious thing that causes one to bow in a fixed relationship under a new master. He said faith. He said you can't see it. It's a mysterious thing. But he said it'll cause somebody to bow. Fixed position under a new master. Then he said in that same text that without faith, this mysterious thing caused you to bow under a new master. He said it's impossible to please God. Then we begin to find that God would begin, continue, and conclude our faith through our five senses. So we began to look at them. We looked at our sense of hearing. We found there the commencement of our faith. All faith begins with God giving you and I ears to hear Him speak. You can pray the sinner's prayer until the cows come home. God don't ever give you ears to hear. You're still going to hell and it's over. It's the beginning to know that God speaks to you. Then on Sunday evening, we found that some people say there's a sixth sense. Sense of humor. Figured if we was going to go that far, I'd say there was a seventh sense, and it died recently. It's called common sense. And so I preached on the little word common in the Bible, found that common biblical sense will produce in you and I the continuance of our faith. The only way you'll ever continue is to get some common biblical sense. Then last evening, we looked at our sense of taste. David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we looked at some consuming of our faith. It's hard to believe that that which we would eat would cause us to see better. But David did see, oh, taste and see. He said, if you'll consume the right things biblically, he said, you'll see things better. I love that, don't you? Tonight, I want to continue our study, Genesis chapter 27. I'd like to look tonight at our sense of smell. I'd like for us to learn some things tonight about the confirming of our faith. Smells are often great tools of confirmation. Smells often verify or confirm some things. Smell in a house can oftentimes confirm what you've been cooking. Been cooking bacon or fish, it's hard to hide it if somebody comes in and confirms some things. It's pretty hard to hide it when something has spoiled in the refrigerator. There'll be the confirmation of a smell. It's hard to hide it when the trash needs to go out. It has not gone out in a while. There'll be the confirmation of a smell. Smell can confirm death. Smell of death. Smell can confirm smoke or danger. I was thinking about the little word confirm. It means to verify or proof that brings one into a state of assured awareness. When you smell something, it can bring you into a state of confirmation. The Bible, on numerous occasions, mentions a little thought of smell. It's a powerful study about the confirming. See, just because you say you're saved tonight, we don't have to believe you. We can. Bible says we ought to be able to smell some things. As we begin to look at the study, Genesis chapter number 27, I want us to see first of all tonight that the smell of deceit will impede our faith. The smell of deceit will impede our faith. The first five books of the Bible are called the law. Law, being good, keeping the Ten Commandments, will not produce faith. They'll only tell you whether you got any or not. Won't produce any. There was a dear man in the book of Genesis by the name of Jacob. The Bible says in chapter 27 that Isaac was going to bless the boy, Esau, and he told him to go get him some venison. You know the story. Cook it up, savory food. And Jacob's mama overheard it, dressed him all up like Esau, got him to smelling like Esau. We step into the text there, verse number 22 of chapter 27. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. I would remind you here that Jacob has gotten old and he can't hardly see. Oh, taste and see. Apparently Isaac hadn't been eating the right kind of things because he can't see. I thought this was interesting. He has asked Esau to go get that deer meat and cook it. He's going to bless him. He said, because I'm fixing to die. Do you know he died 30 years later? Whoa. Sure took him a long time to get it done, didn't it? Deceit can sure wear you out tonight. I was wondering tonight if there was any smell of deceit upon you. The Bible says in verse 22, and he fell to him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Verse 27, he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Smell of deceit will impede our faith. Isaac would have not had a taste for venison and had a greater taste for God. He hadn't had such a taste for hunting and more of a taste for God. He could have seen better. He could have felt better. And he could have smelled better. Jacob was a smelling like Esau, but he was still Jacob. I was a wondering tonight. here deceit will happen when one tries to smell like heaven and they're living like the devil. Oh, it won't work, friend. You know, with 11 grandchildren, I have learned some marvelous tricks from my daughter-in-laws. Of course, one of them's got 5 youngins, one of them got 4 youngins. They do not jump and change diapers at a smell. They've been deceived too many times. They flip them around, yank it up, and look. I do not want a faith tonight that has got to be checked on by the eye of reality. I want a faith that is real tonight. The Bible says, Paul says to the church, he says that we should have unfeigned faith. What in the world's that? Faith without a mask. I'm telling you something tonight. If you're something here and you're something different at home, it will impede your faith tonight. I was thinking about that. I've got a dear preacher friend in Arkansas, and he's telling me about his grandmother. He said, my grandma was a holiness lady. He said she had her hair bunned. He said, I've seen her shout the bobby pins clear out of her. He said, grandma, go over there to church. He said, she's speaking tongues. You couldn't understand it. He said, but she cussed in English at the house. I was a-wondering tonight if you might can sing Amazing Grace real good, but I wonder if them youngins of yours know you cuss in English. I'm telling you, deceit will not only impede your faith, it will impede their faith too. Deceitful spirit. Oh, may the smell of our faith not need a reality check. May I smell of heaven tonight. May I not have the smell of the world upon me and trying to cover it up with a mask, making everybody think that I smell like heaven tonight when I smell like this world. I'm talking about the smell of deceit. Oh, it'll impede your faith tonight. Be a good night to get in an altar and cough her up. Huh? You say, well, nobody knows about it. He does. Everything being acted out before his face tonight. Got your Bible there, Psalms 45. We're looking at the word smell. The smell produces the confirmation of our faith. I wonder tonight if there's a smell of deceit upon you. Is there a smell? Is there the light? Is there a least scent of self upon you? God can't stand it. Just pushes him away. Smell of deceit. In Psalms 45. I want us to see, second of all tonight, the smell of death ignites our faith. You say, gracious, the smell of death, it just pushes me away. Oh, no. I heard them singing a minute ago about the death of Christ, and it some of you got a whiff of it, and it excited you. Huh? Smell of death ignites our faith. In Psalms 45, David takes his prophetical telescope, fine-tunes it, and looks down through time at about 1,000 years. And he says this of Christ in verse 8. All thy garments smell. There's that word again. What did he smell like? I was thinking about that. My daddy, he never went anywhere that he didn't have a blue blazer on. He had 9 of them when he died. I believe he cut grass in blue blazer. That just was his life. He always had one on. I asked my mama to give me one of them. It's hanging in my den. And after he first died, it had his smell on it. He always either wore Aquavelva or Lagerfeld. I could smell him on it. I could smell him. He says here, Christ, all thy garments smell. Had a smell to them. What did he smell like? Myrrh, alloys, cassia. I was thinking about those garments. Our Lord wore 5 garments. That's amazing that God would plan it for his son to wear 5 garments. You'd almost think he wrote the Bible, wouldn't you? Huh? 5 being the number of grace. He had an outer garment. That's where that Gail touched that hem. He had a girdle or a belt on. John said when he saw him on his throne in the Revelation, said he had his golden girdle, his belt pulled up on his paps. Middle Eastern king, they wore that belt, they'd pull it up so they wouldn't walk on the bottom of the robe when they run. But when they finished work that day, they'd pull up the belt on their paps. John said, when I saw him, said he had that golden girdle he had pulled up on his pap. He won't do nothing else. He's done. I love that, don't you? Huh? Then he had on shoes. How precious are, how beautiful are the feet that come with a gospel. He had on a headdress that he could not be seen except for his eyes unless he'd take it off and reveal himself. He had an inner garment. It was the garment of righteousness. They stripped him down naked. They took all his clothes. Some of them old boys got home with them clothes. Wonder what they smelt like. David said they smelt like myrrh, alloy, cassia. What in the world's that? Hear them soldiers now. They smell like death. Man, smell like a funeral home. Myrrh. The little word means the bitterness of sorrow. It speaks of the act or that product that is used in preparing the body at death. Myrrh. What does his garment smell like? Oh, gracious. Smell like death. Smelled like alloys. Alloys was a hidden gummy substance. You had to pierce the tree to get that substance out. It was hidden away. But it was a healing balm. Oh, not only was it of death that it smelled, but it smelled of burial deep in the ground. Oh, my. But it said it smelled of cassia. The word cassia means to shrivel, to bow or bend low. Did not Paul said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death? But God hath highly exalted him. His clothes smelt of death, burial, resurrection. Oh my, let me get that smell on me. Huh? Don't you want a smell tonight of death to yourself? Burial of the old life, resurrection of the new life. Kids wouldn't hear you cussing in English. Huh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, I'm talking about the smell of his garments. They will ignite our faith. Hey, not being nosy tonight. God forbid I'd be nosy. I was wondering what you smell like to him tonight. I was wondering if he's catching a smell of his boy tonight. I wonder if he's getting a smell tonight of death, burial, and resurrection. It's impossible for you to please him tonight if he ain't getting a whiff of death, burial, and resurrection. I tell you what, if he's getting a strong whiff of you tonight, whoo, he don't like it. Huh? Talking about the smell of death ignites our faith. Still got your Bible there? Song of Solomon tonight. Chapter number one. There were smells all through the Bible. Sometimes I wish God wouldn't have put it in there. Huh? Sure can mess up a lot of things. Song of Solomon, chapter number one. I see here tonight, not only does the smell of deceit impede our faith. I was wondering tonight, you having a hard time being one thing over here and something somewhere else? Hey, I hope you don't ever forget where you're at. You'd be a mess. Huh? They should be rough when you go to cussing over here. Huh? They'll find you out. But I'm telling you tonight, if you're living a deceitful life, you can rest assured before it's over with, God will unveil you. And he'll humiliate the hound out of you when he does. Are you listening to me tonight? Smell of deceit impede our faith. Smell of death ignites our faith. I don't know about you. Man, I wouldn't mind getting a whoof of Calvary tonight, wouldn't you? Huh? Man, that smells like a funeral home. That smells like bloody death. Gracious, let me get it all over me. Huh? Smell of death. Death to myself. Burial of my old life. Resurrection of the new life. May he catch a whiff of that from me. But I notice in the Song of Solomon, the smell of delight inspires our faith. Smell of delight. See, if he's smelling of you and I, death, burial, resurrection, it brings him great delight. But if he's smelling you, oh gracious, it pushes him away. I was thinking about that the other night. We had the air condition off. It got cool. We had all the windows open. We live out in the country. And we were sitting there in the den, and I kept smelling something. I said, man, that smelled like a skunk. Man, old skunk had let loose in our front yard. Man, it was wafting. The dogs was howling and yelling. It was a woofing through that house. Whoa! Man, that wants. Man, let me go outside and get some of that on me. It's not a delightful smell. Death, burial, resurrection. Oh, smell that brings him delight and inspires our faith. Chapter 1 in verse number 12 says, while the king sitteth at his table, the Shunammite girl now, his lover, he's provoking a love relationship. He's wooing her into a marriage. He says, my spikenard, she did, sendeth forth the smell thereof. While he's sitting there at the table, he keeps getting a whiff of her. It's not repelling him. It's pulling him towards her. I was wondering tonight, that which God is smelling out of my life and your life, is it pulling him towards us? Or I wonder tonight if he's getting a whiff of a polecat. Oh, gracious, man, he smelled like Tom. I don't know mess of that mess. Huh? Smell of delight. His perfume sends out a smell. Whoa, may my life give off an alluring smell that would draw him towards me. I noticed in chapter number 2 of the Song of Solomon, verse number 12, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig trees put forth their green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give off a good smell. The king kept getting an alluring smell from her. Well, what did he do? The Bible said in verse number 13, he said, "Arise, my love, my fair one, come away." Oh, I wonder if the Lord tonight is awaiting to get a smell from the church of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "They're smelling good. Go get them." Or is he catching too much old world from you and I of this world, smelling more like ourselves than we do him? I was thinking also, chapter number 4, verse number 10, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? The smell of thine ointment than in all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. He's talking about his smell. Chapter number 5, verse number 5. He had come to the door a knocking. He wanted to have fellowship with her. The Bible said in verse 5, and I arose to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with mirth. He had left mirth on the doorknob. When she pulled it back, she said, oh, I could smell that death, burial, and resurrection. She began to smell like him. Oh, I tell you, the only way you can smell like him tonight is to spend much time in his presence. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking again today, a little girl, she ain't little no more, she married. She got married not long ago. My wife taught her when she's K-5. If she knowed I was telling this story tonight, she'd be humiliated. Such a sweet gal. But when my wife taught her in K-5, one afternoon after lunch, my wife kept seeing her out the corner of her eye doing this. Of course, you see a kindergartner K-5 doing that, you don't know where in the world they've had their hands. Well, my wife just quickly, not in a snappy way, but in a pretty firm way, she said, "Do you want to go wash your hands?" She said, "Oh, no, ma'am." She said, "This morning when we went outside," she said, "I held your hand." She said, "I can still smell you on mine." Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if we would spend so much intimate time with him, even late into the evening? Maybe before we go to bed, as we're turning over in the bed and getting our arms situated, we'd catch another whiff of him, and the delight of it would begin to inspire our faith even before we go to bed. I'm afraid most of us go to bed at night smelling much of ourselves tonight and very little of him. I'm talking about the sense of smell tonight. It is the confirming of our faith tonight. Not only is there the smell of deceit, it impedes our faith. Smell of death, it ignites our faith. Smell of delight, it inspires our faith. You got your Bible there, Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. I'd like for us to see tonight that the smell of defeats influences our faith. I hear a lot of people now putting smells out around their gardens, keep the animals out. I didn't know if you know it or not, but God's got a smell around him. The devil catches a whiff of it, he don't want to cross it.
smells that death, burial, and resurrection. Huh? Smell of defeats influences our faith. You know the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys that were thrown in the fire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. While in the fire, you know the story, Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw three in there? He said, yeah, okay. He said, well, I just counted them and there's four of them in there. They're loose. He said, we bound them. They done got free in there. He said, they're walking around. And he said, hold on. He said, that fourth one. He said, he looks like a son of God. Huh? Ain't no evidence in Hebrew teaching that God's got a son. Huh? Gracious. From here to here, God showed Nebuchadnezzar he had a son. He said, that fourth one looks like a son of God. Huh? I love that, don't you? Hey, they pulled them old boys out of the fire. They found this to be true. Verse 27. The princesses and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their head seen, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Fire couldn't go past them. How come? Had that smell of death, burial, and resurrection on them. Oh, I love that, don't you? I'm talking about the smell of defense tonight. Oh, how he protects us tonight. Oh, how that ought to influence our faith tonight. Oh, how I long to hear him say of me after I've been in the fire, well done, I've not seen such great faith. All of my people, oh, I long to have that. I tell you, the only way you'll smell like him, spending much time with him. Could I bring our thoughts to this last little thought? Ephesians chapter number 5. Smell of deceit. I wonder if you're trying, you smell a whole lot like yourself tonight. And you're trying to cover it up with a little smell of heaven. Well, you just reek of the world. Smell of death. Nights our faith. I wonder if you long to smell like a death, burial, and resurrection. Smell of delight. I wonder as he smells of your faith. I wonder if it brings great delight to him. Or if he's getting a wolf of polecat pushing him away. Smell of defense. I wonder how, if you really know how safe he's got you tonight. Huh? I noticed a couple of you tonight realized it. Did you notice what they did? They did something I've never seen some of y'all do. They got a static. You don't you remember we studied that word Sunday morning? Blessed is he that heareth. The little word blessed means to get it static. Yeah. I like it, don't you? Huh? Smell of defense. But in Ephesians chapter number 5, I want us to see that the smell of dedication increases our faith. Smell of dedication increases our faith. Paul, in speaking of Christ in Ephesians 5, verse number 2, he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God. What did God think about Jesus' sacrifice? He said, my, 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 what a sweet smell that death, burial, and resurrection is. He said he'd take great joy in killing his son. He said it brought him the highest pleasure. He said he said, man, they sitting there that morning in glory when they killed him on the cross and that death, burial, resurrection smell come wafting up there. I can hear the Father say, y'all smelling that? Woo, man, that smells good. You say, you crazy. Crazy bee?
He's still looking for that smell from you. Still looking for that smell from me. He said he offered a sacrifice of himself, and it was a sweet smelling savor unto the Father. If he offered himself as a living sacrifice, found it to be a sweet smell to the Father. Look in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Verse number 18. Paul said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Hey, Paul, that church down there sends you an odor. Paul said, before I ever opened a present, he said, man, Epaphroditus, what in the world? The world's that you brought down here, so I can smell it when you come in here. He says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. That little word sacrifice is a living sacrifice. Church at Philippi had offered themselves. And he said, I bet you God's getting a whiff of it, and it's acceptable in his sight. Oh, I don't know about you, and I'll testify for you tonight. Oh, I want to offer God a life that is pleasing to him. I don't want to offer a life that is bitter, negative, always looking on the negative side of things. I want to offer God a living sacrifice. I was thinking about that thing, negative. Always kept the cups half full. It's always, I tell you, I'll pray, I tell you, this thing's looking bad. I tell you, this thing's looking good. Like we're fixing to go out of here. I tell you what, let me go on record tonight and say, go, Obama, go. Huh? Flusher, Obama flusher. Because when you finish flushing, we're going up while you're going down. Huh? Listening to me tonight, nothing he's gonna do change where I'm going, huh? Oh no, I don't want to get bitter, I don't want to get negative, I don't want to act like we don't have no hope. We got all hope, huh? I was thinking about that thing of being negative. I come from a family of negative people. They get the negative award every year. I talked to some of them this afternoon. Well, I talk to them every day. They never change from day to day. I don't want to be like that. I was thinking about the old boy. He used to bird hunt with an old boy that was always negative. He was negative about everything. So the old boy that hunted with him, he just felt like he wished he could help him stop being negative. The old boy said he bought him a bird dog that could walk on water. He's out there hunting. Man, he'd shoot a bird. That dog scoot right across the top of the water, get that bird and bring it back. All day long, dog scoot across that water. He said, I hunted with him all day long. He said, I thought for sure he'd say something about that bird dog. Nothing. Never said anything about the hunting trip, about how good it was, or nothing. He said, we got in the truck, we was headed back home. He said, well, how'd you enjoy the hunting trip? He said, I said, about like we always go. Nothing about that bird dog. Finally, he couldn't stand it no more. He said, what do you think about my bird dog? He said, I know one thing, he can't swim. Huh? That's about like some of you would look at it, ain't you? Huh? They've been walking on water all day long, you wondering why I can't swim. I don't want to be negative. I want my life to give off a sweet smelling savor to him in which he can be satisfied. I was wondering tonight, do you reek of yourself or do you reek of him? I was thinking again today of some smells that repel. You're just not drawn to them. I go in a Golden Pantry sometimes. I kid you not, I ain't in there 10 seconds. come back to the car, and she said, "You smell like chicken and cigarettes, huh? You that smoke tonight, I'm not after you. I smoked for years, but gracious, you got to know that you stink, huh? You giving that off? If cancer wouldn't stop you, at least the thought that everybody can smell you. You can cover it up with everything. Oh no, it's a smell that pushes you away, draw you to it. Oh, I was thinking about the smell of the old boy. Somebody snuck in his room one night, put Limburger cheese under his nose. He got up the next morning, he thought everything stunk. He said, "Grace, this whole house stinks." He told his wife, she's, "Honey, you stink." Thought everybody stunk but him, and he was the one that stunk. Smells that push you away, drive us from us. I was thinking about some smells that allure us. You go to somebody's house and they've invited you for a meal, and you get there and they say, "Go on in, sit down. As soon as I get the bread out of the oven, we'll eat." Oh, gracious. The more it wafts across there. I tell you, that smell don't make you want to go back to the car. I tell you, I just ain't going to wait. I'm going to leave. Oh, no. Just keep pulling you to the table. Man, I want to smell like that, don't you? It's a wafting smell, keeps coming up to the Lord, keeps drawing him to me. I was thinking, you ever go in the mall and they're cooking them cinnamon buns? Huh? I tell you, I don't know what it is about me. I can come in the door at one end. If they cooking them at the other end, for some reason, before it's over with, I'll be down there by it. Huh? Draws me to it. I'll never smell them cinnamon buns cooking and say, "That stinks. I wish they wouldn't cook them things in here." Huh? Draws us to us. Old Mary's alabaster box. She busted that, poured it all over Jesus. The Bible said, "And the smell filled the house. That which was on him got on them." And the rest of the day, them disciples said, "Gracious, what in the world was that Mary poured on him? I got that smell all over me." Huh? Listening to me tonight? I was wondering tonight, do you smell of the world in yourself? Or do you have the odor and the smell of heaven and Him upon you? The only way we can smell of Him tonight, much time spent in His presence, will leave His scent upon you. By the way, tonight, in closing, what kind of woof is the Father getting from me and from you? Would you stand with us tonight? Oh,